The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you back. We invited you to the second hour of the program. Not that I doubted it, by the way. We have a lot to do. Bruce Feldman coming up here in a couple of minutes on an extraordinary story in Missouri, but also a look ahead to the draft. Nobody's done a better job of deep diving than Bruce of The Athletic. Later on, Scott Rabelais, some news over the weekend, and then there's some more news today that we'll talk to Scott about on the off-the-field front, and Bill Hancock in the final hour. Let's get back to the calls here and talk next to Kyle in Tennessee. Hello, Kyle. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. Love the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Talking about the FBS playoff, the amount of teams. You know, the FCS, which used to be Division II, you know, with North Dakota State and the Kennesaw State, you know, they've been playing, you know, they currently play with 24-team playoff. I know a lot of that is, or I guess all of it is on the school's campus, not necessarily bowl games, but they don't seem to have, you know, a question about injuries or things like that, like what we've been talking about, or what you've been talking about the last 30 minutes or so.
Yeah, I don't think that's really an issue, and I know a lot of people want to come up with their own plans. I'm all in favor of you doing it. It's not going to change anything, because you have to remember every one of these bowl games has have affiliations with leagues and tie-ins with networks. So very little is going to change, with the exception of perhaps seeing it expand.
Right. I just if you're going to expand a playoff, and you know, it's never been a question with the Division II or the FCS teams. I just was wondering, you know, what the why there's, you know, so much concern about expanding it. Why the, you know, the Premier Series, the FBS, is not expanded more than four. And I get the bowl tie-in stuff, but you're going to have extra games. You can play them all. You can play all the extra ones on campus and expand to 16 teams, I would think.
Yeah, you have to take some of these games to campus, and frankly, I think would be pretty exciting. And I know that neutral site games are done for a reason, but the idea that some of these games could be played on campus adds an element of surprise. And weather, can you imagine a game, you know, at some northernmost places in mid to late December? It would really be a real disadvantage for a southern team. So at least to me, you get a good – right now, if you're number four seed, if you're number one seed, you may not get that much of an advantage. It's, you know, playing in Atlanta, Dallas, Indianapolis, wherever these games are, you don't get that much of a home field advantage. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with the Leprechaun, who is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I think that the 49ers will be making a big mistake if they don't take Mac Jones. He's got the it factor.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. You don't think Kyle Pitt has the it factor?
Yeah, he's got it too.
Okay. I mean, listen, you have to take your fan hat off for a second here, guys. These teams don't care about what we care about. They're fitting a player to their system. That's the only thing that matters. We've talked to 100 draft experts, and you know, they may care a little bit about where a player matriculated, but they care more about, does that guy fit my system?
I got you. Hey, I want to shout out to Big Game and Legend. I was a member of the Sons of Saban back in the day.
You were?
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry I missed you, because we had a famous Sons of Saban lunch one time where we all went out, and it was the original group. You may have joined later on, but it was.
Yeah, I joined later on.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't think I remember.
I got kicked off.
I didn't remember a leprechaun being at that lunch. Trey is up next in Tuscaloosa. Hello, Trey. Trey, you there? Let me try Trey one more time. Okay, I think we have, okay, Trey, you're on now.
Hey, my friend, how are you today? That was quick.
Well, I saw your name, and you went ahead of three presidents and two secretaries of state, so feel honored.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to hang up and try again. That's the first time that's happened. Hey, Paul, remember I asked you a question about Vanderbilt volleyball and softball. Did you realize Texas A&M does not have a gymnastics team? I never realized that either. That's kind of interesting to me.
I can tell you in all candor, which I try to tell everybody in every conversation, I have no idea.
I didn't either until I started looking things up. Hey, Paul, I want to talk to you about some SEC baseball. How good is that SEC this year? You know, Paul, if they don't play each other in super regionals, I think SEC could get four, possibly five teams in the World Series. And the pitching in the SEC has been pretty phenomenal this year also. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments, and you have a great week, Mr. Feinbaum.
Thank you. Yeah, the SEC baseball right now is trending toward maybe its best ever. We've had SEC teams play each other for the College World Series championship. It doesn't happen often, but it could happen this year. It's quite extraordinary when you think about it. It's a testament to what to building and not waiting. And everyone in the SEC, or almost everyone, has tried to keep up. And in baseball, you just can't sit around and go, well, we'll put that off for a couple of years. Your program will shrivel up very quickly. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check out Wood, who is up next. Good afternoon, Wood.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
I am well. Thank you. How about you?
I am doing great. Hey, listen, I have an idea. A few years back when you were still a local show, I had called in and suggested that college conferences get rid of the divisions, just have the best two teams end of year play. Looks like only one conference is taking me up on that one. But I have another idea, which I think might be a good way of expanding the reach of the playoffs without the college football playoffs without having to do it. And that is, you know, you got championship Saturday, and then you got one more eligible Saturday to play, which at this point only the Army-Navy game or maybe some makeup games are being played at, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Well, what I propose that they do is either have an on-campus or maybe a lesser bowl sponsored a weekend there where they invite the number three teams from the top Power Five conferences are the champions of the Group of Five conference champions to play one game and just seed it into there and just have another little display on their beauty resume. So then the playoffs still have four teams, but they've got another way of seeing whether or not some of these secondary teams and some of these Group of Five champions are actually worthy of being in that Final Four. What do you think?
I think it's interesting. I love all these ideas, and I don't want to act like I don't. But I also know how things move very, very slowly in the world of intercollegiate athletics. And I'm sure when we talk to Bill Hancock in under 2 hours, he will tell us that they've looked at 4 million different models, and they will ultimately choose the one that fits their needs the best, or the one that pays the most money, whichever one comes first. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Bruce Feldman, right around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome all of you back. So much to talk to Bruce Feldman about from The Athletic. In a few minutes, we do want to ask him about his very deep dive into the draft. Of course, 3 days away from that, we had Mel Kiper on a few minutes ago. But we want to begin with the latest article by Bruce. And if you haven't had a chance to see it yet in The Athletic, it's really extraordinary. It talks about how Eli Drinkwitz at the University of Missouri has done what few have dared to do and the reasons why. Bruce, thank you so much for joining us. The headline in The Athletic, how Eli Drinkwitz and Mizzou ended up with the most diverse coaching staff in major college football. Good afternoon, and draft in a minute, but let's start with Curtis Looper and the whole Eli Drinkwitz story in Columbia.
Sad and Curtis Looper was a guy who was on, like Eli, was on Gene Chizik's staff back at Auburn when they won the national title. And one of the things that Looper had said, you know, really that kind of jumped out to him was, look, I think this is newsworthy. We have 8 of our 10 assistants are minority coaches and men of color, and that is just something where he started hearing about it from a lot of coaches in the profession and high school coaches and different people who had taken notice of the staff that Eli Drinkwitz had put together. And he basically said it's one thing for coaches to talk about it. It's another thing for them to do it. And so I think with that as kind of the backdrop of it, it was about how Drinkwitz put together his staff. And he was like, you know, listen, it's not, you know, it's something he was definitely cognizant of, making sure that minorities were represented. But he said, I didn't have a quota. I did not have this number in my mind. It was really, I'm going to make sure I'm giving everybody an opportunity and trying to have the best coaches. And there was a lot of good candidates out there, and that's how he chose to put it together. But I think one of the upshots of the story was in this climate we're in, where so much is coming at everybody, especially college football players. And so when I talked to some of the staff, they said, you know, it's not uncommon for Eli Drinkwitz, who's in his 30s, to come, you know, late 30s, to come into one of these assistant coaches, whether it's Curtis Looper's mid-50s and has, you know, served the country in the Army for years, or Charlie Harbison, who SEC fans know well because he's been around, and he'll pick their brains on all sorts of issues that the players are dealing with. You know, how can we handle this? You know, how can I approach the team about this incident that has happened in the country? How can we affect change in this way? And so they have this dialogue, and then when I talk to some of the players about it, you know, they really appreciate that it's, you know, as one of the offensive linemen said, it's like, it's transparent and it's real and it's honest. And it's something that they really notice and they appreciate, because that's the climate and the culture inside the football facility and inside the locker room that they feel like they care about trying to impact all the members of their team and the community that they represent as well.
And Bruce, as we have seen, especially last summer, there were a couple of coaches, prominent coaches, who later admitted they didn't really understand the moment well enough, and it cost them.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Right, and I think that is a real concern in terms of, like, how connected are you, not just to your locker room, but to all the people on your staff, not just necessarily the position coaches maybe, but there's a lot of other people on a coaching staff, analysts and nutritionists and you know, strength coaches and trainers and all sorts of other people. But I think it's making sure that you kind of know what your players are dealing with and what their families may be dealing with. And so It was very interesting to hear, especially Curtis Looper, talk about how open Eli Drinkwitz is. And some, you know, it's like sometimes, and there's a part of the story we kind of go into what Drinkwitz told the team last week, because, you know, with social media, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or certainly on TV, you know, college students especially are getting hit and dealing with a lot of heavy stuff that can impact them all sorts of ways. And I think it's a challenge for football coaches who think, you know what, I'm the football coach and I'm just, that's what it's all going to be about, because that's why we're, you know, that's my job, is to coach the football team. And I think Drinkwitz has a pretty good handle on the realization that there's so much more that he has to deal with as a coach, and ways he can impact his team by talking to them and trying to not just talking to them, but having them have dialogue and conversations about what them and their families and their seeing, and just kind of the education aspect of it, and the mental, you know, the mental health aspects of, you know, some of this stuff can feel really overwhelming and daunting. And I think that part of it, and some of the initiatives that he has really embraced and created, I think is really fascinating to see how that is impacting the team, but also the community that they're around.
I know a lot of this is certainly significant, but before we change subjects, I am curious, though, Bruce, of your impressions and what you hear from people in the industry about Eli Drinkwitz, who to me just seems to be a cut above a lot of other young coaches who may talk a good game, but it looks like he can really back it up.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Paul. I think one of the last times I did your show, when you guys run something on the TV side of it, I think it was like out of the break, there's a question and answer you have with Drinkwitz where you can see he's got a really good sense of humor. And I forgot what the soundbite was,
yeah.
But it's just like he is very comfortable in that setting. And so what I knew about him, you know, I knew he was, you know, came from Arkansas, was on Chizik's staff, and then got to App State. But I, you know, he's really not like, he doesn't struggle being in the spotlight. He seems to really excel in that. I knew from one of the coaches I know who had worked with him at NC State, thought he was a brilliant X and O's guy and really savvy play caller. The parts I didn't know was how good he is kind of as a talker in front of a microphone. And I think people see that when they see his sense of humor. He's obviously really intelligent. The stuff I also didn't know was getting into the story. He talked about how, and Looper did too, about some of the things that Gene Chizik did at Auburn staff-wise, and was really ahead of the curve on a lot of things. And so I think he took some of the best parts from some of the coaches he's worked for and has been able to really build on them. And I think what's also significant is I don't think he thinks he has all the answers, you know, and that's why, you know, I think he's 38. He has a lot of wisdom, in not just football coach wisdom, but just a lot of he's a lot of grown-ups on his staff, quite honestly. As I mentioned, Looper's, you know, served in the Army before he went back to play college football, and, you know, has been around. And, you know, Steve Wilkes came from the NFL, has been in Super Bowls, has been around. So you have guys, I think, that I think Drinkwitz knows I can learn from. And I think sometimes it's hard for young head coaches, especially them in big programs or like in a powerhouse conferences, to not feel like they have to project that they are, that, you know, be authoritative in every way and they have all the answers. And I think he's obviously a really sharp guy, but I think he has a good sense of self-awareness with this.
Chatting with Bruce Feldman. Bruce, I would be negligent if I didn't ask you about your piece from last week about the draft, which, of course, is this week. I know it's a lot to tackle, but just for those who have not had a chance or an opportunity to read it, as you went through this process, talking to so many different people, what were your top-tier takeaways?
You know, the quarterbacks, it's such a quarterback-heavy draft with maybe five guys going in the first 10, perhaps. I'm curious about Zach Wilson and how that works if he does, in fact, go number two. to the Jets. I mean, this was a guy who really came out of nowhere, right? Like, and talking to some of the quarterback coaches from the NFL that I heard from, you know, they like his arm talent. Obviously, he had a spectacular year in 2020, but also, as you know, they pointed out, it wasn't like he was going up against SEC defensive fronts or even Pac-12 or Big 12 defensive fronts because of the competition they could only play because of the pandemic. And so it was like, hey, you don't see him in a tight pocket a lot of times in our league. The NFL is a tight pocket league. He's also not the biggest guy, so you worry about how well he may hold up with the play style he has. And on top of it now, unlike, say, Pat Mahomes, who left Texas Tech and Mahomes went to go sit behind Alex Smith and learn, and then he had a great offensive coach in Andy Reid, this guy will go to the Jets where it's the Jets, and he doesn't have that proven offensive coach. He won't learn behind anybody, and he's going to be in the New York media market where there's zero patience and it's pretty snarky, and that's going to be some challenges. Whereas, you know, there's a lot, I think there was a lot of people that I talked to who were very intrigued by Trey Lance, the quarterback from North Dakota State, who has a great arm and really smart guy and good size, but he's only played 1 year of football. And, you know, he's inconsistent mechanics, and he didn't look great when they played the one game they played this year, Central Arkansas. You know, it's like kind of some of the throws you would have expected him to make, he wasn't accurate. So I think there's a lot of there's a lot of hesitance. I think you'll see quarterbacks go, but I think there's a lot of stuff where you go, ooh, I could see why this is going to give some offensive coordinators some sleepless nights trying to develop these guys.
Bruce Feldman, so many great conversation pieces there of the draft to the big story on Coach Shrink's staff. Bruce, thank you. Fantastic, as always. Great to have you on.
My pleasure. Thanks, Paul.
Really, some amazing reads there. There's nobody better than Bruce. As we head to the break, and we'll continue taking your phone calls. Next hour, Scott Rabelais on the Mulkey hire and the off-the-field issues, which today took another turn for the worse. We are coming back with much, much more. And Bill Hancock in the final hour.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. Scott Rabelais next hour. Bill Hancock, final hour. We've already talked to Bruce, of course. You heard him and Mel Kiper Jr. in the first hour. Let's get back to the calls. And Mitch is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello. First off, let me correct myself and ask you, can I call you Uncle Paul?
You may, by all means.
Okay. I never did actually ask, so I needed to have your permission. Well, Uncle Paul, everybody's given their perspective on what a playoff should look like. First off, we know that the College Playoff Committee and the NCAA, they're going to do what they want to do no matter what any of us say. But this is my theory on it, and I think I've shared part of my theory. I don't want a watered-down version of the playoffs. You put eight teams, and there's guaranteed three blowouts probably. But secondly, I don't like the idea of, even if it's ACC or SEC or any, I don't like the idea of guaranteed slots. If you remember some years, well, last year, for example, Florida had three losses, and they could have beat Alabama. And I don't want a three-loss team in the playoffs.
Well, at the time they beat, at the time they played Alabama, they only had one loss. Two losses. They had Texas A&M and to LSU, you're right. So that yeah, I mean, it's possible you could get two lost teams are not that far-fetched when you think about it, but nobody wants to see a three-loss team in. And you could easily get that from the group of five. Unlikely, but you could. Or the Pac-12, for example.
Well, do you remember, I mean, it was before the playoff committee, but do you remember when South Carolina represented the East?
Sure.
And they had three losses?
Yeah, but they would not have gone. That was in the BCS. Now, it is a fact that in 2007, LSU went to the BCS championship game with two losses. They lost two games in overtime, and then they were able to win the SEC title and got in and won.
And if I remember correctly, that game was tremendous.
Yeah, I don't think it was, but that's beside the point. Well, they beat Oklahoma.
I'm thinking about the Alabama LSU game that was 9-6.
Well, of course. I was talking about 4 years before that, but you're right. Alabama LSU was the game of the year in 2011.
I'll give it almost the game of the decade.
It had enough hype to last 100 years.
But, you know, I don't like the idea of guaranteed slots because you need to earn your slot, not guarantee the slot.
Well, Mitch, unfortunately, I don't know how to break this to you, but we live in a guaranteed slot world.
But then why can't I get guaranteed in a slot that they're going to give me $10 million?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You may. You never know.
Well, thank you for allowing me to call you Uncle Paul. And thank you for hearing my ridiculous ideas on the playoffs.
Thank you,
Nick. And I will talk to you later.
Thanks, Mitch. Appreciate it. Mike is up next. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
How you doing today, Paul?
All good.
Man, I don't think this college playoff expansion is ever going to die down. Personally, I'm not for it. And that's not because I'm an Alabama fan, Paul. I think that the players aren't being considered enough. I mean, you take players from schools like, you know, the perennial top three, Clemson, Ohio State, and Bama. Those schools produce a half a dozen players with multi-million-dollar contracts to the NFL every year. Is it really fair to make them wade through a bunch of riffraff? I really don't think it is. But if they are going to expand it, I think anything more than six teams is unacceptable. I think, and if they want to go all Power Five conference champions and a one at-large bid, that would be okay. 5 and 6 play, 3 and 4 play, 1 and 2 get a bye. The winner of 5 and 6 plays the number one team. The winner of 3 and 4 plays the number two team, and that ought to be a wrap. What do you think, Paul?
Well, your plan makes a lot of sense, but it probably won't be their plan. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Maybe I'm just too cynical. Medford is up next. Hello, Medford.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I'm well, Medford. Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. My question is, Paul, and I think we all know the answer. It's money. But why do they care how many games they play? They don't seem to care Division II, Division III, NAIA, Division I, II, or III. Why do they care how many teams are in the playoffs?
Well, you're right. It's the same organization overall that legislates. I mean, the NCAA legislates everything. Now, the CFP runs the postseason, but it really doesn't matter. All that conversation is nonsensical.
Yeah, it's just strictly money. That's all it is. Personally, I could care less about the playoffs. I think we ought to just go back to the polls because they're still arguing about 1966. Notre Dame and Michigan State, who deserved to be number one. Nobody's arguing about who should be number one from last year or the year before.
No, you're right, Medford. The more teams that once we went to four teams, I frankly think the debate has waned, and I know that we do everything we can to promote and promulgate the conversation, but it is not as intense because they're really most of the conversations are manufactured. I know. I can assure you.
Oh, sure. Well, Paul, you keep up the good work. Appreciate you. Hey, let me call.
Thank you very
much. Talk to you later.
You take care of yourself, and let's continue and check out Don, who is up next in Florida. Hello, Don.
Hello, Paul. I wanted to give a big shout-out to the Kentucky Wildcats women for winning the first-ever women's volleyball championship.
Right.
They had the National Player of the Year, first time ever, the National Coach of the Year for the first time ever, and they completely dominated the tournament, losing only two sets. And I think I know that Commissioner Stankey was at the game, and quite an accomplishment.
It really is. A couple of years ago, I was at the Lexington Airport leaving, and I bumped into, it wasn't the same team, but it was the same coach, I believe, and they really were a great group of young women, and I think we're all proud of what they accomplished.
Thanks for taking my call, Paul.
Well, thank you for calling, and we will take a break. More to come right after this, much, much more. And your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and great to have all of you with us. Todd is up next in Georgia. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Mr. Finebaum. Hope you're doing well today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I know this horse has been beaten so severely beyond the point of being dead. but, with all of the conversation in just thinking, I believe I may have come up with a possible solution regarding the playoffs and keeping the same scenario now with four teams. And that's, at the beginning of the next season, the top four teams that were in the playoffs all, I don't know, maybe round robin or just the two teams in the championship, all play each other at the beginning of the season. In the first games. So one plays two, three plays four from the previous, year's playoff. I'm not sure if that would how that could work out, but what do you think about that?
Well, I think it's challenging because what happens to the games that are on the calendar? Like for example, we have Alabama, Miami, Georgia, Clemson. Second week, you have Penn State hosting Auburn. UCLA is hosting Texas A&M in the first week. So, I mean, these are really important television games. End games that fans spend a year or two planning and figuring out what to pay for. So, and you don't know who's going to be in the playoffs. So, and secondly, just because you play for the championship doesn't always mean you'll have a similar type team. Now, in the college football era, let me assure you, it wouldn't have made much difference. It's the same schools every year. But you may get that outlier year where a team has a dynamic player that becomes an all-world entity, and the next when he leaves, your team is very average. And we have seen that, not lately, but it can happen.
Right. Well, maybe they could bump it to the second or third, game of the season, to where as opposed to one of the lesser opponents, usually that a Power Five will play.
I tell you what, Todd, I don't know exactly what Hancock is going to say here in an hour, because I mean I've seen his statement, but statements sometimes can lose something in the translation. But thanks for the suggestion, appreciate it very much. Matthew is up next in Alabama. Hello, Matthew. Good afternoon.
Hello. How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum? Love your show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I got a little bit of backstory. I take care of St. Michael's in Fairhope, Alabama.
Sure.
Philip Rivers is now the head football coach.
And absolutely.
I've seen him three or four weeks in a row now, and I feel like it's rude to walk up to him. I bought his NC State jersey where he slaughtered my Noles, and I'd like to get a signature. How can I do that without being rude?
Matthew, I will give you this. Now, when you see him, what's the circumstances?
He's coaching the kids.
I've watched this before with very famous people like Tebow and Herb Street and countless others. And
right.
I would simply just first of all, I would put the jersey in a bag so you don't look like you're stalking him. And
right, it's already in.
Okay, and then I would simply wait for him to walk off the field when he's not busy and just say, Coach, I just want to introduce myself. I'm a big fan, and I know this may, and it, you know, I had to do this, even though I'm a Noel, and you guys, you just whip, bring it out, and I bet he does it. From what I know about Philip Rivers, he's a very nice guy, and I don't think he's going to be the least bit offended.
Okay. Awesome. Well,
the only other thing I would say is I would get right and I've watched this happen before. Just get to the get to the point as quickly as possible, and because he's probably worn out and tired and ready to move on, just say but always introduce yourself, because that kind of forces the celebrity here to be on the. I mean, it's one thing if somebody yells at somebody, but if you say, hey, I'm Jack Smith, I'm from Fairhope, Alabama. I've always wanted to meet you. He's got very little choice but to shake hands with you.
Well, he's going to appreciate what my company, Sexton Lawn and Landscape, does. So,
and as he's signing that, I would then.
Yes, sir.
My strategy on all celebrity is don't overwhelm them with information, and we tend to do that.
Okay.
You walk, and I've done it before. You walk up to somebody and you just start blabbing away, They're used to it. I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you're the president of the United States, a Hollywood celebrity, a rock star, a football coach. You are more surprised when someone doesn't come up to you than when someone does. I mean, you see it. You see it before you get there. So he's not going to be surprised.
Okay. Thank you so much. Love your show.
Thank you. That will be my new bestseller. You know, stalking your favorite celebrity and how to get your point across in 30 seconds. And the ones that drive the really big celebrities crazy is when they're stuck and the person just has to tell them their life story. If you get right to the point with a piece of paper, a picture, sometimes pictures or memorabilia, they may be able, their own memorabilia they may be cautious about because they have deals a lot of times, but. I don't think Philip is going to be too bothered by signing his jersey. Hey, thanks for the call. And let's check out Joshua, who is up next in South Carolina. Hello, Joshua.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing well. Thank you for calling.
Hey. I want to talk about South Carolina baseball. Is that cool?
You better believe it. And by the way, it is cool. It is cool again, too.
Awesome. I see that Vanderbilt and Tennessee and Arkansas are just macking in the SEC, and they are just really rolling in baseball. And then you have all the other SEC baseball teams who are also in the top 25.
Well, Joshua, I think it's a phenomenal league right now. We'll talk more about it a little bit later. I hate to run. We are heading to the break. Scott Rabelais at the bottom of the hour. Bill Hancock next hour. Halftime coming up.